truth.
Well, I was born too late to be a rolling stone. I don't know Jerry Lee. I never met Johnny Noble. Standing with a sprat, a mocking rose bastard son. Go out, get drunk, get wild, have fun. I don't got $1 million, don't drive a Cadillac. Give me every chance, cause I'm not dead yet.
Welcome to Stop the Presses. As I adjust today, get in position, 27 April 2022. I'm still on the proverbial road a little longer, still coming to you from the Grand Canyon State, Arizona. What a beautiful place. Toasty, warm, low humidity. The desert climb can be kind of a good thing. Cool evenings, warm days, not a bad thing. If you forget about the political and economic situation, we still have a beautiful country. The land is great. The people are largely great, although their minds have been warped by the mass media cartel. But one of those who's immune to the mass media cartel is my fellow thought criminal, Ron Avery. He joins me today in two functions like usual. He's a comic relief sidekick, co-commentator, and video engineer. Actually, that's a lot of things. I think he's more important than I am, really, on this show, and in sort of a fundamental way. But Ron, thanks once again for joining me and putting this at livestream.com/Ron Avery/stop the presses for the video simulcast of this audio show. The audio, of course, goes to republicbroadcasting.org. Hopefully there's new listeners out there. Those skulking, not wanting anyone to know that you listen to RBN, you're a lurker, you're a skulker, and yet you can't help but listen. I know you're out there. You're going to be okay. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Just listen to the crowd roaring.
Yes. And the crowd goes wild. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot to cheer about, though, sometimes, oftentimes, much of the time, oh, let's face it, practically all the time, about the politico, economic, social, cultural situation. And I do have some announcements and some important matters today. Hopefully I can scrape it all together. And political prisoners in America, in the country, of course, where we're told there's no such thing, well, they really do exist by the dozens and dozens and dozens. And one of those is one of the sons of the late Gordon Call. Of course, Gordon Call was the tax activist and patriot who was killed by U.S. Marshals in 1983 in Arkansas after a melee and a shootout, a infamous one, a legendary one, in Medina, North Dakota, not long before that, in earlier 1983. That was in February of 83, and by June of 83, Gordon Call was dead. His son, Yuri Von Call, as has been mentioned on this show when I had Rudy Davis on recently, is still in prison. Like P.F. Laser, another political prisoner, Yuri Von Call's been in for 39-plus years. Yuri happens to be in the Pekin, P-E-K-I-N, Federal Correctional Institution, Pekin FCI, just south of Peoria, Illinois. And this announcement is really important. I'm going to say it again. I want to get some of this out of the way today. I'll probably repeat it after the bottom of the hour. There's still some time to write the U.S. Parole Commission. The deadline's coming up. I'm going to say May 1st. It could be a little after that, but these do not need to be long letters, ladies and gentlemen. Write to the U.S. Parole Commission, 90 K Street, Northeast, 3rd floor, Washington, D.C., 20530. I believe I announced this at the end of Ron's show yesterday here at RBN. But we're getting close to the deadline, so it bears lots of repeating. Once again, to write to the U.S. Parole Commission, 90 K Street, K like kangaroo, Northeast, you can abbreviate Big N, B-E, comma, 3rd floor, Washington, D.C., 20530. And basically just put Yuri Von Call, Y-O-R-I-E, Von, V like Victor, O-N like Nancy, Yuri Von Call, K-A-H-L, Yuri von Kahl deserves to be freed from prison. He served his time. He's a political prisoner. Please see to it that he gets out either this coming June or no later than next February when his official parole is up. So let's write as much as we can right now to call for his release to that parole commission. I will have that with the notes for today's show, and I'm trying to get a special posting up on the RBN website. A previous posting about PF Laser under RBN updates that's probably still on the website is now past tense or obsolete. I'm going to have the board ops people take that down. I'll make that note to Julie right now to have that taken down. And there'll be something maybe going up in its place. And after the bottom of the hour, Ron, I'm going to announce something on PF Laser about writing to Governor Newsom. So I'll save that one for the uninterrupted segment after the bottom of the hour. But I was just on Louise Collins' UK-based show, and I talked about the weather modification going on here in Texas that I talked about the last time I did Stop the Presses 2 days ago. And since then, Ron, I've talked to the Texas licensing regulatory body and also a Arizona Central project. I've talked to two different entities. And what I've heard, Ron, is that they have never really heard of or seriously considered, especially the Texas regulatory agency. The spokeswoman I talked to said she'd never heard of or seriously considered cloud seeding or, you know, deliberately making it rain or enhancing rain that's already there for purposes of dampening the environment so as to lessen the likelihood of wildfires or to make them less severe if they do happen. So that's very interesting that it's not really on their radar, and yet millions of acres in Texas, in one county alone is six counties, or excuse me, one project alone is six counties, including Pecos County, P-E-C-O-S, in and around Fort Stockton. And there's several other projects encompassing millions of acres, Ron, in Texas, getting up to like 10, 15, 20% of the state where they're carrying out cloud seeding projects. And as I learn more about this, they want to enhance the water table. They want to do this for the farmers, that for the farmers, but somehow trying to create a less volatile environment, which would make wildfires less likely or maybe not happen at all. It's only being mentioned a little by a project called the Arizona Central Project, but it's not really on the radar at all, Ron. I've learned since the last show with the Texas licensing entity.
Yeah, that's Texas Board of Licensing and Regulation.
Yes.
They license and regulate just about everything.
That's correct. The
handicap requirements in Texas, and they license a lot of, you know, like plumbers and electricians, and I think they regulate all that stuff. They don't regulate architects, but that's a separate board of Texas Board of Architectural Texas Board of Architectural Registration, something like that.
Yeah, it's actually the TDLR, the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, I'm remembering now. But that's just a brief update for my show 2 days ago, that since then I've talked to them, and the only thing that the Texas spokesman said, she said that you have to have some clouds to work with. If it's absolutely dry and no chance of precipitation, that there's no clouds to see. You have to have pre-existing clouds to see. Now, that's probably true, but the thing is that there's also technology being used in the Middle East where it's desert environments, and it's called ion generation. And I understand, and I'll have more on this later, but I understand they're very successful at making it rain. And so, once again, your millions of acres over the years have been burned, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of homes lost, lives lost, and yet there's no real serious effort to try and mitigate these droughts, these extended droughts that are coming up. to try and prevent or at least minimize these wildfires, and you just detect a lackadaisicalness, Ron, on the part of the government. Naturally, there's times a year when cloud formation will be higher, and so much could be done. I have written about this, and I have an article coming up in American Free Press. Much more could be done and is being done in the Middle East, in the desert climates where you have, you know, practically little chance of rain year around, and they're making it rain there. So with the silver dioxide they're putting into the atmosphere in these Texas experiments that they're licensing through the state, certainly different times of year could be chosen in Arizona and in California and in Washington State and Oregon. And as we learned, Ron, through the American Meteorological Association conference back in 2017 that we attended and almost got kicked out of, we learned that cloud seeding goes on pretty much routinely all the time year round. So after 100 years of knowledge of cloud seeding, it's been around about 100 years, it's difficult to believe that little or nothing can be done about these wildfires, which as we speak have burned probably 30,000 acres or better, and that's conservative, in and around the Flagstaff, Arizona area. So I won't beat this to death today, but I'm detecting so far a pretty lackadaisical attitude on the part of government to use this weather modification for a very needed purpose, a very urgent purpose right now.
Yes, well, that meteorological show we went to, that presentation, it was filled with a bunch of military entities, corporations that work with the military. They were all over the place with big exhibits. So,
right.
And all related to this weather stuff. So you've got to ask yourself, if the military is interested in this, you bet your booties this is about control of the weather.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's really why they didn't want us nosing around in there, because we were finding that very interesting, and we were live streaming that stuff out of there and taking video on this stuff, and they wondered who we were with. We were wearing those American Free Press lanyards. I don't think they were the American Free Press. Who's that? They wanted NBC and CBS, not somebody that might really say something that didn't fall with the narrative, you know. So anyway, that's why they wanted to get rid of us.
Yes, I remember that. Even the Ball Jar Company that we know for canning vegetables and fruits has a military arm and gets into things that have nothing to do with jars and canning. And I found that uncanny, pardon the pun. In the exhibit room, you're right, were dozens upon dozens of military/intelligence contractors that were joining forces with meteorological sciences and, you know, meteorologists and the meteorological scientific community. And that does raise all sorts of thorny questions. It bears repeating that the military declared in Popular Mechanics way back in the 1940s that they'd own the weather by 2025. Well, we're almost there. And then, of course, there's a lot more to it than cloud seeding. There's aerosols they spray, and they create these patterns called, generically at least, called chemtrails. So enough said about that, I suppose. This bears watching, and this topic will periodically come up, ladies and gentlemen, listening live and on the archive, because it deserves a deep look and lots of updates. As we see other licensing, as we see other projects, specific projects, we'll keep calling them out. We'll keep making phone calls, calling the regulators, and trying to at least get them to use this for a constructive purpose. Whatever military and governmental and agricultural applications it may have, at least use these technologies to help these people who are living in these fire-prone areas. And one might argue that maybe they should live elsewhere. Okay, but that's easier said than done. But to help them with these dangerous situations where people are dying and losing property and livestock and crops, it's just incredible. And, you know, Ron, I picked up the Arizona the Republic the other day, and I forgot to send that headline. We're gonna see a headline on the video version of this in the second half of today's show, ladies and gentlemen. There's this ridiculous headline in the Arizona Republic, but the reporting, Ron, by the mass media cartel on these fires could be reinterpreted as follows. Fire, bad. Fire burning. Crops burning. Houses burn. People upset. Report on people upset. Talk about how upset people are. Next day, fire, bigger, badder, hotter, more loss, bad, not good. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's just rock hits water, water splashes.
Guttural roar. Utterance. Guttural utterance. Very basic, very crude, basic description.
Yeah, and I only exaggerate slightly to drive home the point. It's like watching mass media cartel reports with the sound off. And you just watch the visuals, and that's all it is. It's, here's another thing to be fearful of. It's destroying things. Nobody knows what to do about it. It's all inexplicable. Firefighters are up against the wall. Some of them will probably die and leave children behind. But we can't be worrying about that. We just need to cry about it. We need to get emotional. We need to, if a firefighter has tears, we'll make sure to get that on TV. This is all just a cathartic, emotional exercise. It's just a vignette of fear. It's just a little storybook clip of, we don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. And every year we have these same fires going on, and no one has learned anything over the years except burn, baby, burn. The firemen do the best they can. Oh, the fire's only partially contained. More homes being lost. More thousands of acres gone. The next day, the next year, the next decade, Ron, nothing changes. Nothing is learned.
Yeah. Here we've supposedly been to the moon, and we have all this high technology, and we've been studying the weather, and the military is supposed to own it in 2025, and we don't know how to deal with a simple forest fire. We treat a forest fire like we did 300 years ago. You send them, well, let's get some axes and hoes and get some shovels. And go out there, we'll send 1,000 men out there, and we'll start digging a trench there, and we'll make sure you take some water with you, and we'll go out there, and we'll throw some dirt, and maybe we'll have a tractor. We'll get a couple of bulldozers and bulldoze a little line through there and hope that stuff doesn't jump across that 100-foot strip we did. And it's just, come on, man. I mean, I thought we were learning all this high technology. What are we doing with it?
Well, right. You know, I mean, if it's possible to make it rain, which it is, some cloud seeding is more successful than others. Some materials, silver iodide or frozen carbon dioxide, which is dry ice, they might work better than others. We have the ionization thing going on in the Middle East. And there are all these things that can be tried proactively. See, that's the thing. Proactively, before the fire season hits, before a given area that you know is prone to fires breaks out in fire. Don't fight the fire after the fire starts. Proactively clear out the underbrush, clear out the kindling that is allowed to build up in many of our federal and state national forests, federal forests and state forests. All this underbrush is not cleaned out. All this proactive stuff is either done inadequately or not completely enough, if it's done at all. We wait till the fire erupts. We react. Yeah, they'll dump some chemicals and they'll fly some large FC-130 planes and they'll do a little bit more than just take out the tractors and the shovels and the hose, but not much more than that, Ron.
That's right.
And yeah, it's as if we're learning nothing. We're coming up on the first break. But in this particular issue, we see cloud seeding, which could be used to some degree, not being taken seriously. Meanwhile, we're learning nothing and doing nothing effectively, and every year is the same story. We'll be right back.
No standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Segment of Stop the Presses here, 27 April 2022, and I am showing something on the screen here. Boy, oh boy. Here we go. And for the video, boy, oh boy. For the video viewers here, and I'll describe it for audio-only listeners. I finally dug this up during the break. I'm on share screen for video. The video simulcast goes to livestream.com/RonAvery/stop the presses. And the video versions automatically archive there, just like the audio version automatically archives at republicbroadcasting.org. This is the Arizona Republic from this past Sunday. Is this coming through, Ron?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, here's typical Arizona Republic coverage of the fires. Arizona's 2022 wildfire season. You'll notice right there, Ron, that it's another season of wildfires. This is an annual thing now. Okay, it's like the Masters in golf, professional golf. We have the Masters tournament. Well, next year there'll be the 2023 wildfire season, and then 10 years from now the 2032 wildfire season. And I would almost eat a page of newsprint, Ron, if anything will be different even 10 or 20 years from now, other than what it says here in the first paragraph, you'll notice the headline, "Your house is gone," in quotes, "Your house is gone. Wildfire displaces dozens." See, so all that's talked about is the fact that there is a wildfire and the consequence of the fire being there. Fire burns, your house is gone. Okay? In the opening paragraph, I'll enlarge it for video viewers. Jolynn Isaac's house had been a home to her Navajo family for more than 30 years. She lived there with her husband, her five children, and her two grandkids. She hoped for that place to be their home for many generations more. Quote, "It was just natural for us to always live there," end quote. However, the flames from the tunnel fire, all these fires have names, just like hurricanes, engulfed her home on Tuesday, that's yesterday, that would have been last week. Engulfed her home on Tuesday without warning, burning in a matter of hours the house they had for decades, effectively destroying that dream. And so the fire is reported as something that without warning can burn your home to the ground and destroy your dreams, destroy a significant part of your life. And so not only is this person's house gone without warning, there's very little, if she had no warning, this Jolynn Isaac, then that would mean that very likely no one else had much in the way of warning. So one question that this begs, Ron, is they know these fire seasons ahead of time. They know when it's most likely to break out in wildfires. They do really no proactive work, clearing out the underbrush, encouraging cloud seeding whenever possible, whenever applicable, to douse and dampen the ground a bit, along with clearing out the underbrush. So they do nothing proactively. And then this suggests that this Jolynn Isaac, even with all these fires burning and all the news reporting going on, had no warning.
Yeah. Isn't this contradictory? I mean, if they say that their house is gone with no warning, but at the same time, the article says it's an annual occurrence, and they give them names. I mean, yeah, okay, we have a hurricane season, and we don't know exactly when they're there, but people do, they get used to taking certain precautions, and they do have warnings for hurricanes. They can track that. And I guess maybe fires, forest fires and things, don't really have a real immediate observable thing. The conditions can be there, but what creates them and what, I guess that would be a little harder to do, I would think. But to predict exactly, or here's where they're going, they start here and they go there. Again, it does seem like there could be more done about that, yeah.
Well, yeah, the thing is these are reported, all of this is reported in an emotional context. Bad fire, losses of people, their property, their lives in many cases. But there's nothing proactive. There's nothing to say that these fires don't have to happen, certainly this severity, if they have to happen at all. We have technology. We have the ability to literally create rain or enhance rain. We can do all sorts of things. There's underbrush that's still not being cleared out the way it should. But we really don't learn much. We don't apply what we learn. And this just goes on every year. And it's such a preventable or at least governable thing. And how are the fires starting? What kind of military-related experiments are we not being told about, right? So there we go with another important item. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Song is saying right there, welcome. Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses, 27 April 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson. I'm joined by Ron Avery, fellow thought criminal, doing the video simulcast to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. And one final comment before we get through some miscellaneous stuff, Ron. One thing about the weather, comparing that with wildfires, is the at least in a full, complete, comprehensive sense, we don't have a lot of control, strictly and realistically speaking, over the formation of, let's say, a hurricane. Mother Nature is a powerful thing. Yes, human intervention, clandestine operations could be behind some of the bad storms and the military's announced attempt to control the weather decades ago. But wildfires, we could have and should have a lot more control over those starting, or at least over their severity. We can't get up in the sky necessarily and say, hey, hurricane, hold off for a while. We can't really prevent that from taking form. But wildfires, given the track record and the knowledge that we should have and the knowledge that we should be applying, states like California and others could have year-round programs, not just when the worst, most drought-ridden seasons are coming up, not just when the driest parts of the year are coming up, but year-round efforts to clear out the underbrush, to use some cloud seeding technologies and other things that can be done year-round, day in, day out, so when the fires do erupt, maybe a fire that would have erupted wouldn't erupt at all, or if they do erupt, again, they'd be much more contained and far less severe. So there is a difference there. But moving on, I just wanted to get that final thought in. Moving on now to some other matters, I'm going to deal with the PF laser situation and then get into the border issues. This is just a visual, but this is what laser looks like these days for those tuning into the video simulcast of today's show. He's talking to Rudy Davis here. This is a still frame from one of Rudy's videos. Rudy, of course, runs a online prison ministry to help political prisoners in America. And there's PF Laser. There's what he looks like, kind of like that aged Buddy Holly look. He's a Buddy Holly getting a little older. In fact, he was in a Buddy Holly tribute band when he was young. Very talented musician, as I understand. But that's him, a somewhat weathered and leathered Buddy Holly look. Still pretty young, though. Has a lot more hair than I do. I've mentioned that before. So considering what he's been through, being unjustly imprisoned and for 39-plus years, didn't deserve to be there to begin with, never really got a trial at all, he's held up remarkably well. But that's PF Laser in the flesh. And here next is the governor's address in California, Gruesome Newsom, your friend and mine. He made a pretty bad name for himself under the COVIDocracy. But the address here is, and I'm showing it on the screen for video viewers, this is to write to him to encourage him to free PF Laser. But there's a certain angle here, so listen closely. Here's the address, Washington Office of the Governor of California. Okay, he's got a Washington office?
It says a state capital, contact information, Sacramento, California.
Yeah. Okay, this is a little confusing. Okay, yes, you can write to Governor Gavin Newsom, G-A-V-I-N, Newsom, N-E-W-S-O-M. Get this straight here. Simply state capital, Sacramento, California, 95814. Showing it on the screen. A little confusing here. I didn't know he had a Washington office.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Gavin Newsom, G-A-V-I-N, that's G like girl, A-V like Victor, I-N like Nancy, Gavin Newsom, state capital, Sacramento, California, 95814, who knew he had a Washington, D.C. office? Okay, putting that aside.
Yeah.
And at the top of your letter, this is letters to get to Governor Newsom of California just as soon as possible, put California Constitution, Article 5, Section 8B, like boy, issue. California Constitution, Article 5, Section 8B, issue. Put that at the top. And basically, ask Governor Newsom to reverse the parole board's decision, which became final on April 8th. There was some sort of interim updated meeting of the parole board. Simply ask Governor Newsom to reverse the parole board's decision, and through that reversal, let PF Laser out of prison at long last. And that decision was made on or around April 8th, this final decision of the Board of Parole Hearings of the state of California. You're simply asking the governor to reverse that parole board's decision. That decision rubber-stamped the earlier parole board meeting of January 12, 2022, and that January 12 decision was to deny parole to PF Laser, PF Laser, L-A-Z-O-R. And since the January 12th decision was to deny him parole, there was this updated meeting in April, right on or around April 8th. Laser understands that parole board meeting in April upheld the January decision. So therefore, you're asking Governor Newsom to reverse this decision, thereby paving the way to free PF Laser from the Salinas Valley prison, the state prison of California near Soledad. That's basically it. If you want, again, with the heading being California Constitution, Article 5, Section 8B, be issue. In other words, it's an issue under that part of the Constitution. So there you go. To do that, trying to keep the screen going here for the video simulcast. But that's really basically it. You can put things like P.F. Laser got an unfair, he really had no trial at all, and he never deserved to be there. He was statutorily supposed to be out of prison May 1st of 1992, some 30 years ago, coming up on the 30th anniversary of that. Things like that, but very brief. I'll have more on the RBN website this evening. I'm going to work on that, and there'll be information with today's archive information for today's show. So there's that and what I announced earlier for Yuri Von Kahl. These political prisoners need to get out. We need to do everything we can to send short, brief, to the point, relatively polite letters to these entities and these addresses that I'm given today. Now, getting off that topic, I just talked to Laser recently, and so did Rudy. I'm now showing a recent edition of American Free Press, issue number 15 and 16, April 4 and 11 of 2022. And this is an article I recently wrote. And I'll ask my wife for a glass of water. Anyway, I do have a little bit of liquid here. The border treason article I'm showing here, Ron, Biden's plan to rescind Title 42. This is coming up, and I've been printing this and distributing this in and around Kearney, Arizona, to promote American Free Press, and distributing copies of this on the road in Texas and whatnot. A lot more of that coming up. But this is something, of course, we have to keep an eye on. I'm enlarging it a little bit for the video viewers. Border treason. Biden's plan to rescind Title 42 leaves America vulnerable. And this gets into the details of, we've had something like at least close to 1 million people cross the border since last September 1st, when the federal fiscal year began on September 1st, 2021, and through March, and certainly as April is almost past, we're definitely looking at about 1 million illegals who have been encountered. In other words, those that have been apprehended. And there are many other numbers that are quite disturbing, but this is a reminder, Ron, that May 23rd, this Title 42 CDC regulation, which enabled the federal government to deport and expel asylum seekers and other illegal aliens, because of the assumption that they may have COVID and we don't want them spreading it here, that protective rule, such as it is, regardless of what we may think of COVID, that protective rule, by all intents and purposes and by all indications, will be rescinded next month, May 23rd. And at that point, 18,000 people per day, they claim, may illegally enter the United States. Of course, each and every day, it couldn't realistically be that many. I can't see that happening each and every day. But in other words, the amount of people coming over the border illegally is expected to increase even more, and it's already at crisis level. So this is a reminder that this is coming up next May 23rd, Ron, and it certainly is clearly indicative of what we've talked about many a times, that the U.S. government, the federal government, especially at the presidential level, at the executive level, simply works for other forces. They don't work for the people or the republic for which they pay taxes, or the former republic, you might say. But this just shows that border treason, as this headline reads, is a real thing. Your thoughts, Ron?
Well, unfortunately, I was playing with this ridiculous Skype system, and I got it kind of fouled up, but anyway, I've got it back where it's supposed to be, and I was hoping you were carrying it. I wish you hadn't asked me a question. I feel like the kid the back row that was kind of he was drawing a picture, and then he gets called on by the teacher. So, unfortunately, I can't answer the question.
Oh, well, that's okay. You have to wear the dunce cap and sit in the corner.
That's it. That's it, man. That's it.
Well, just to read the first paragraph, the distinct, and I'm showing this on the screen, the distinct possibility that Title 42 could be lifted has those citizens who have dedicated considerable time and energy to monitoring the border gravely worried. I wrote this story. Title 42, an order issued by the Centers for Disease Control early in the pandemic, declaring that asylum seekers and others could be expelled to protect the U.S. from entrance with COVID-19, took effect in the spring of 2020 during the Trump years. It's been carried over, reluctantly, I might add, by the Biden administration, but now it could be rescinded, and that expected day of rescinding it, Ron, is May 23rd, a little less than a month from now. And if this goes down, this would be probably the most egregious example of the U.S. surrendering the whole idea of border defense in the entire history of the U.S. And so we're right on the brink. Will the administration, if you want to call it that, I call it the misadministration, the Biden bunch, kind of a fake, seemingly fake presidency, certainly illegitimate in many people's eyes, given the way the election panned out and the actual real evidence of fraud happening there. But will the U.S. go this low? Will it be this obvious that we don't have a bona fide nation state anymore? I mean, are they going to let it be this obvious, Ron? I mean, a lot of things that indicate our republic is, you know, in a state of disillusion are maybe not so obvious to everyone, but this is something up close and personal.
Mark, did you say dissolution? A disillusion,
yes.
Or dissolution? That's
I think I mean both, Ron, but go ahead.
Exactly. But yeah, my whole show yesterday was on this ridiculous Title 42. Why do we even need that anyway? Why do we need some kind of excuse to close the border? Like, oh God, you can't close the border, man. You have to, you got to have a, you know, it's kind of like these people have got caca all over them, and they start forest fires and hurricanes, and they're criminals, or they don't like to work, or. We don't need excuses to close the damn border and regulate it. That's part of being a sovereign nation is regulation of your borders. And letting people in and the numbers of people in is something that your legislature should discuss to figure out how many people can be taken into the state or the nation so that you can assimilate these people correctly, you know, and without harming your own citizens, and actually have them learn your principles of government and in your society. But we don't do that. Somebody must have told our presidents and our nation, "Thy borders shall be open unless you check with me." And get an excuse, unless you have a valid excuse to close the border. That is absolute insanity. I mean, it's absolute proof that we don't have a country. There's nobody in office executing their authority, and that's what my whole show was pretty much yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we got, for the video version of this, how we got this living room scene, but I like it. It's interesting.
See, you and I should just play on this stupid Skype sometimes without doing a show, because there's no way to do it by yourself. You can't play with Skype and test it all by yourself. You have to have somebody with you before you can do it. So, and we never just jump into a show. But anyway.
Those who are watching this live or in the archive video-wise will see a large living room with a fireplace and snow behind us. It's quite comforting. I look like a mugwump looking up over a countertop, and you're a little higher, but it's a nice little change. Let's let it go for the entertainment value that it certainly has. But, you know, that's a great thought, Ron, and it's true. Okay, it doesn't mean that you would, especially men, women and children, vulnerable people, it doesn't mean you'd mistreat them. But just because you're a humane country that claims to operate on Christian principles doesn't mean that you have to have basically no border regulations at all, unless there's this excuse. Well, we'll let anybody in we want, but oh, if there's a pandemic, then all of a sudden we'll think a little bit about having border security. But then even then, it's not really seriously enforced.
Or terrorists. I remember when they used to say back after 9/11, well, you know, we got to slow that thing down at the border because there could be terrorists in there. No, that's just another lousy excuse. The reason for controlling the border is to determine how many people you can allow in the country that can be reasonably assimilated into your culture and understanding of civil society. And we're not doing any of that. We don't assimilate anybody. There's nobody assimilated into anything in America. They're just, here's a big old mob of people bumping into each other. Hey, I'll take your stuff. No, you take yours down. Get your stuff off my thing and get your own. It's just, they've turned it into chaos.
Well, yeah. And now, this is absolutely true, because among my many border contacts are people, a guy in particular who works for private security for ranchers whose lands are near the Mexican border, and their lands are invaded and trespassed upon with impunity. And when you have such large numbers, like I talked about a few minutes ago, since the fiscal year began September 1st, 2021, you know, clearly close to 1 million people, and that's only the ones apprehended across the entire southern border, and that might include the Canadian border a little bit. These are total counts from Customs and Border Protection. But when you have that kind of numbers coming in, assimilation, number one, is simply not possible. But the next point to make is assimilation is entirely necessary. It's important. You don't just have nations, which really, really wouldn't be called nations at all, where people just hither and yon just routinely go from one place to another without any regulation at all, because then you're creating large subcultures within the dominant cultures of a country, and those subcultures could tend to overtake the existing cultural and political and economic landscape. In other words, you're going to completely disrupt and undermine existing nation states by allowing this clash of civilizations and this subcultural phenomenon to happen. Therefore, what you said is entirely correct, Ron. You regulate the border strictly and with lots of vigilance, 24/7, 365, because you're keeping a political nation state, a polity, a political entity intact, culturally, socially, politically, economically, and you allow these big shifts of people to happen that undercuts that whole process. If you have a strict border defense, I'll just finish this last sentence.
Okay.
That controlling disease transmission, controlling terrorists entering your country, all that would be taken care of in the process. That would be that'd be a given.
Yeah, right. Well, what it also is a sign of, and you've said it just right, is that it is a way to completely disintegrate a society. And that is the primary reason that they want these borders open, because the people that have already dissolved our nation and taken it over want it fragmented even more so that the people cannot take it back, where it's just a big old boiling pile of mess where there's no consensus about what society ought to be, what government is, what lawful government is. You think these people coming into America down there on the southern border know spit about lawful government and what it is? Do you think they're coming over here in search of real freedom and to establish lawful government and be under it? Hell, they don't know anything. They barely know how to cook a meal, much less do all this other stuff.
Well, I think the point is even those that do desire freedom, in a situation like this, they're not going to find it here. Ultimately, it might be for a while a little bit better than their home country, but what's going on in their home countries and the failure to create whatever situations down there are making them come here is partially a failure of U.S. diplomacy. So even our diplomacy is failing, let alone what we're doing within our own borders. See, so it's a double-tiered failure, failure to control our own borders and failure for the State Department to carry out the proper diplomacy to figure out why there's so much upheaval and migration to begin with. It's just a failure on all fronts.
Yeah, and looks like those people would be interested in doing something in their own nation. Why come up here? And why do we look at these people like they're A-OK wonderful citizens? You can't be A-OK wonderful citizens if you don't give a damn about your own country and just want to get the hell out of it and come up here and lounge around in ours. Or even if you work, just come up here. I don't care. They act like working's a big deal. Why? How did working get to be such a big deal? I mean, yeah, people should work, but that's not the whole thing about society. You have to know what property is. You have to own property to help sustain your life. And people don't know they have property, what it is, who has it. They don't know anything about anything. And that's even most of our general population. Now we're letting in people that are even dumber than we are. Or not dumber. They're not ignorant. They're just, yeah, they are ignorant. They don't know stuff.
It's not stupidity. It's ignorance. And those few that do understand it are getting into a situation that will not enable them to do anything about it except lick their wounds and maybe eat for a few days or a few weeks or a couple years. I mean, they might improve their lot physically, but in the long run, by abandoning their home countries, everything is getting worse for everybody.
That's right. They're just being used, and it's unfortunate. And people are making use of that, all kinds of people. Even the churches, they ought to back off all of that baloney about, oh, let's help these poor people. No, if you want to help them, go down there and help them down there.
That's right. Missions. The Catholic Church should be sending missionaries to Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras and finding out what the problem is. But Daniel Flores, the Brownsville Archbishop, nothing about it. Just help them when they come here. It's false humanitarianism. It's pseudo-humanitarianism. And they're not fooling anybody. They're not fooling me. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But, Ron, we're coming up on the end of the show. It's been a good presentation of news, views, and some ranting. I always enjoy it, and I really like this visual we're seeing here for the video version. Let's try some more of these scenarios. We're in a lodge, ladies and gentlemen, in the wilderness, and it's snowing outside. I like it.
Well, I'm not seeing that, but anyway. Go ahead.
You're not seeing that?
No. Okay.
I wonder what the viewers are seeing. Well, that's what I'm seeing. We'll see how it translates over. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for the next show here in RBN. Make sure you write Governor Newsom and the U.S. Parole Commission about PF Laser and Yuri von Kahl. Stay tuned for more updates at AmericanFreePress.net and RepublicBroadcasting.org and on the archive for the show. See you next time.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.